It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we hear your plans for 2016. You can call us and tell us what you're looking forward to at 800-642-1234. You can share the trips you're planning and the books you'd like to read and other goals for that coming year.
First, there's a lot of history that's common knowledge for people. The big years like 1492 and 1776 here in the United States. 1066 and all that for the English. And there are events that are part of our consciousness. Victory over the Nazis in World War II, the moon landing, the fall of the Berlin Wall.
And then there are the lesser known stories, the forgotten chapters, the strange stuff that doesn't quite make it into the history books, except for the ones written by our next guest.
Giles Milton joins us now for a look at some of the more unusual stories from the pages of history. He's a writer and a journalist. His newest book is called When Hitler Took Cocaine and Lenin Lost His Brain, History's Unknown Chapters. Giles, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So before we get to some of the particular historical events you share in your books, what kind of stories are you out hunting for when you're, camped out in an archive all day?
Well, that's exactly what I do. I spend a lot of my time in the archives going through all these, box loads of papers. And I just, every now and then, you stumble across an incredible story and you think, I can't believe that's true. And I start to investigate. And generally, they are true, and they're amazing, and most people don't know about them. So I decided to put them all together and put them into a book.
Well, since I said the title of your book, I imagine people are curious about the stories referenced there. So let's talk about Hitler and cocaine and his doctor, and not just cocaine, lots and lots of drugs. Tell the story behind that.
Yeah, this is a really extraordinary story, and it only came to light a couple of years ago when Hitler had a physician, a personal doctor called Theodor Morell, who kept an awful lot of papers about the Führer's health. And these papers were uncovered in the American archives just a few years ago. And they revealed that the Hitler was taking the most extraordinary cocktail of drugs, from amphetamines, testosterone, sedatives, laxatives, all of these things to try and control his very poor health. And to sort of hype him up, to pump him up for, your listeners will be familiar with seeing those stories of Hitler giving extravagant speeches and everything. And these were all done while he was fueled with amphetamines and other drugs. And perhaps the most surprising of all that came to light in the doctor's papers was Hitler's frequent use of cocaine, which certainly came as a surprise to me. He began taking it as eye drops, which was it was apparently used in the 1920s and 30s in Germany, but he soon became addicted to it and started snorting it to, as he put it, clear his sinuses.
And there are reports, I understand, of psychotic episodes, two-hour rants to, I think, Mussolini and other world leaders and his staff, things like that, just really crazy drugged-out behavior.
Yeah, basically, he was pumped up, pumped full of so many drugs that's why he had these crazy moods. And you're right, these monologues that would go on for hours, At one point, he was recorded by his doctor as taking up to 80 drugs a day. And Hitler was not a particularly virile man. And, of course, when he went to spend an evening with his girlfriend, or his mistress, he had to take large injections of testosterone to help him perform.
And tell us more about this doctor. I mean, a lot of people, in Hitler's inner circle, distrusted this guy.
Yeah, because Hitler had several personal physicians. Most of them were bona fide doctors. But Dr. Theodor Morell was really what we call a quack doctor. He was not very well trained. He didn't really know what he was doing. But Hitler suffered from appalling stomach cramps and problems with his digestion, partly because he ate this sort of mushed up soup of pureed vegetables for every meal. And Dr. Theodor Morell claimed he could cure this with his wonder drugs. And he gave some to Hitler, and they worked. And really, from that moment on, Hitler trusted implicitly Dr. Theodor Morell and put his entire health troubles into this quack doctor's hands.
Well, I want to move east a little bit now to another world leader and a story after his death, actually. Vladimir Lenin, leader of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, a hero to the Bolsheviks there. His body still preserved to this day, something I did not know, though. His body is there, his brain is not.
Yeah, in fact, I was in Moscow not so long ago and actually saw his body. Slightly weird experience to see this wax-like corpse lying in a glass box. But yes, you're right, his brain is not there. because it was believed that Lenin, the great genius of the Bolshevik, the Soviet revolution, must have some incredible thing inside his brain. So his brain was removed from his body when he died and sliced into thousands, about tens of thousands of microscopically thin, wafer-thin slices. And neurosurgeons began to study these slices to find out if they could find the source of Lenin's great communist genius.
Well, now, neuroscience has advanced a lot in the last century or so. I imagine that even if there had been something like there, they probably wouldn't have found it.
Well, you know, what happened is that the Soviets hired all the great neurosurgeons of the day, and you're right, neuroscience was in its very infancy in those days, and they studied these slices of brain, and they looked into them, and they discovered that there was an extraordinary thing about Lenin's brain, one that had to be kept completely secret, and that was this fact. There was absolutely nothing special about it at all.
You wouldn't want word of that to get out, I guess.
Yeah, you wouldn't. They had to keep that rather quiet.
So what then happened to his brain? Do we still know where Lenin's brain is today?
Oh, yeah, the Lenin's brain is still kept in its tens of thousands of slices in Moscow. A vast sort of encyclopedia-length volume was written about this extraordinary brain that wasn't actually so extraordinary after all. But for the moment, the brain still lies there in Moscow, as does the body, and I think no one quite knows what to do with it.
Talking to Giles Milton, his new book is When Hitler Took Cocaine and Lenin Lost His Brain, History's Unknown Chapters. He tells some of the out-of-the-way odd stories from world history. Now, here's one, another big name here, Agatha Christie, mystery writer. She created all sorts of interesting, compelling mysteries. She created one in real life when she disappeared. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this, even though I've read lots of her books. In 1926, when she was already famous, she was a household name, certainly in Britain and probably in America as well, she suddenly disappeared without trace. One evening, she left home, she got in her car and drove away, and was not seen again for 10 days. Now, the police began to investigate. They soon found her abandoned car, but no sign of Agatha Christie herself. What had happened? It led to the largest police woman hunt in history of my country. The police called in Arthur Conan Doyle, the famous crime writer. They called in Dorothy Sayers, another famous crime writer, to try and work out what might have happened. But no one could find her. And for 10 days, there was this incredible hunt across the country. And eventually, she was tracked down to a hotel in Harrogate, where, bizarrely, she checked into the hotel using the name of her husband's mistress.
And as I understand it, well, I'll say I was searching after I read this part of your book, and I saw an article from last year, Agatha Christie disappearance mystery solved. But then I looked at the article, and it was like, a doctor has a theory about some sort of brief mental breakdown. We still don't know exactly why Agatha Christie disappeared for 10 days, do we?
We still don't know, no. But it does seem quite likely that she had some sort of nervous collapse. I mean, it's very strange that she should use the name of her husband's mistress as her assumed identity. Her husband was this sort of philandering womanizer, treated her appallingly. And very soon afterwards, she ditched him and married a far nicer person. So the most likely explanation is that it was a mental collapse. But we just don't know. It's most extraordinary. To be able to hide from the police for 10 days like that was also extraordinary.
We focused on big names so far, but a lot of your stories were about people we've probably never heard the names of. One, though, has made it onto the big screen a couple times. A man who survived the Titanic disaster, in part, apparently, by being drunk. He was a character, I don't know how prominent, in the big Titanic movie and A Night to Remember. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, this is a really odd story, actually. This is a story of Charles Joachim, who was one of the ship's bakers on the Titanic. He was also one of the first people to realize that the ship was doomed when it struck an iceberg. And he realized that there were not enough lifeboats for everyone on board. And as a lowly ship's baker, he was going to be sacrificed to allow, you know, the passengers into the lifeboats first. So he decided, well, what am I going to do? He had two bottles of whiskey. He downed both bottles of whiskey and then slipped into the sea as the ship was going under. Now, normally drinking that much hard spirits ought to kill you very, very quickly, especially if you're on freezing water. The water was below freezing at that time. But bizarrely and miraculously, he survived hours in the sea and was eventually pulled out and hauled aboard one of the lifeboats and lived to tell the tale. And no one has really ever been able to explain how he managed to survive so many hours in water that, as I say, was below freezing.
Yeah, not one for people to try at home, the get really drunk and then go in freezing water.
I wouldn't recommend it necessarily, no.
So we've just sampled a handful of your stories, and you told us kind of how you look for them. The big question I want to end with, though, is why? Why should we look for these nooks and crannies and things that don't even quite make the footnotes of the standard histories?
Well, I think they are very interesting because they shed new light on characters, perhaps familiar characters. I mean, we all know about Hitler, but did we realize that he was on this drug crazed sort of rant for most of his political career? I also like the stories that tell of people who are perhaps not known at all, but what they've been through, the things they've experienced, shed light on a whole new episode of history. So although they're little vignettes, if you like, and they are footnotes, the idea is that they actually open a window onto a much larger historical episode.
Well, leave us with one of the lesser-known people that really struck you, one of your most interesting, compelling stories.
Well, the one I like, actually, is... I've always been a great fan of the dodo bird, which I'm sure your listeners will know became extinct a long time ago. But I wondered, how did it become extinct? And I discovered that in the 1660s, a Dutch ship got washed up. It was shipwrecked in Mauritius, and the men lost all their food, had absolutely nothing to eat. They were starving, and they saw this peculiar bird waddling around. In fact, they found dozens of them, and they found them very easy to kill. They killed the lot. They ate the lot, and we now know that over those few days were the last few remaining dodos on the planet. And from that point on, the dodo became extinct.
All right. Well, Giles, thanks a lot for joining us today and sharing some of these stories.
Thank you very much for having me on. Thanks.
That's Giles Milton, writer and journalist. His newest book is called When Hitler Took Cocaine and Lenin Lost His Brain.
That's a very sad story on National
Sad story
Bird Day.
To end up on National Bird Day, no less. But now we know.
Well, it's an interesting story for sure.